The Cleo Healthcare Clinic is for informational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare show. If you think you may have a medical emergency, call your doctor or 911 immediately. Focus on Females does not recommend or endorse any specific tests, physicians, products, procedures, opinions, or other information that may be mentioned on the radio show. Reliance on any information provided by Focus on Females or others appearing on the show at the invitation of Focus on Females is solely at your own risk. Now, it's time for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Here, we create clarity out of confusion and guide you through today's healthcare maze. Each week, we'll focus on a different medical topic with a guest expert answering your questions. Future topics and guests can be seen at www.focusonfemales.com. Call in between 12:30 and 1 p.m. on Sundays and present your case to our experts. To get involved with today's clinic, call now in Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Be proactive with your health. We're here to focus on you. And now, our host, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
The Focus on Females Radio Health Care Clinic is on, and we thank you for listening. Today, we are tackling food sensitivities with guest expert, registered and licensed dietitian, nutritionist, and food sensitivity therapist, Lee Russell. But first, this radio show and the free annual Focus on Females Women's Healthcare Symposium, now the largest in the country with 1,800 women, is supported by the not-for-profit Focus on Females Education Foundation, whose mission is to create an interactive, dynamic, community-based healthcare safety net, making you an expert on your personal medical needs. The results? Better partnering with your existing doctor, leading to more effective office visits, faster results, and a reduced economic burden of avoidable medical and emergency care. We save lives and protect families, and we do so each and every week. Today, Lee, first off, I want to thank you for being here today. It's great to have you.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
This is a very fascinating topic for, I think, well, for me personally, and I'm sure for many, many people that have difficulty with foods. And I think we ought to probably start by asking the question, first off, what's the difference between, say, a registered dietitian and a nutritionist?
Well, Dr. Maskin, thank you for asking me that question. That's one that I like to answer. And basically, to put it very simply, a nutritionist doesn't really have a concrete definition, while a dietitian has credentials to go with the term. A registered dietitian is credentialed just like an RN, just like a medical doctor. We go to school to receive a bachelor's degree in dietetics. It's a four-year program. And then we complete a year-long internship program with over 900 hours. Once we've completed that program, we are eligible to take a registration exam. And when we've passed that exam, we're then regulated by the American Dietetic Association. One thing a lot of people don't realize is that registered dietitians are now required to select what they are going to specialize in. And our long-term continuing education, we get certified every 5 years. We have to just tell them up front what is our specialty, and then we have to get continuing education program on our specialty. So, for example, if you have diabetes, you want to see a dietitian that's specializing in diabetes. If you have renal disease, you want to see a dietitian that's specializing in that. So not only do you want to make sure you see an RD, because they are experts in food and the science of nutrition and preventative health, you want to see an RD that's specializing in whatever your chronic condition is.
So this is extraordinary, and I think it's certainly reflective of probably the advancement in understanding of foods and the impact on the body that you can actually subspecialize within the field of dietetics.
Correct. And anyone can call themselves a nutritionist, okay? So you go to the local health food store, or you go into one of the vitamin stores, and there are people there, and they're calling themselves nutritionists. And, I mean, anyone can call themselves that. So you want to look for a registered dietitian. The other thing is, in the state of Florida, people who are doing true medical therapy, nutrition therapy, are required to have a license. So you also want to make sure that you're seeing a registered dietitian that has a license for the state of Florida. And then they will be a licensed dietitian / nutritionist. So they're going to have the RD, LDN after their name, and that means that they are fully accredited to talk to you about your specific condition.
And that's state by state. And
that is state by state,
so
yes.
So those people that are streaming live outside of the state, then depending upon the regulations in that particular state, would either be similar to Florida, or perhaps they don't have any similar of those regulations.
Correct. But most states do. New York still does not have a license in the state of New York, but most states are requiring a license now.
And I have to, I am remiss, Lee, because I didn't go over your biography, which I'm going to do right this moment.
Okay.
Lee Russell is a registered licensed dietitian, nutritionist, and food sensitivity therapist with 30 years of combined professional experience as a registered dietitian. Lee takes a personalized, non-diet approach to helping each client achieve positive health goals and develop a healthy relationship with food. Lee is committed to improving the health of individuals through positive lifestyle changes and healthier eating habits, using medical nutrition therapy and wellness coaching. Lee's experience ranges from working in intensive care units to serving a client population with multiple medical diagnoses. She has a vast array of knowledge in the field of nutrition and how it applies to overall wellness, disease prevention, and medical nutritional therapy. Lee has completed advanced training in weight management, sports nutrition, and is a food sensitivity therapist. She has presented medical nutrition therapy and wellness seminars to numerous clients, corporations, and other health professionals. Her balanced approach and integrative philosophy has proven to be an effective way to facilitate and sustain lifestyle changes. Lee brings her own extensive professional background and experiences, along with her medical nutrition therapy and wellness coaching expertise, to providing her clients with individually tailored nutrition and wellness programs. She believes a sound fundamental understanding of food and its effect on the body is immensely important to eating right and feeling good. Her goal is to provide current and accurate information to help create nutrition plans that are individualized to meet her clients' goals. And Lee, I see you have your Bachelor of Science from University of Tennessee at Knoxville, and that Bachelor of Science is in Nutrition and Food Science with a coordinated program in Dietetics. And you went on to receive a Master's of Business Administration at University of Tampa. Okay. And your professional affiliations include the American Dietetic Association, and you're an active member of the American Dietetic Association's Dietetic Practice Groups in Functional Medicine, Nutrition, Sports Nutrition, Weight Management, and Nutrition Entrepreneurs, as well as Food Sensitivity Therapist, Florida Dietetic Association, Tampa Dietetic Association, and Pinellas County Dietetic Association. So you have been dedicated to this topic for over 30 years.
Well, today we're talking about food sensitivities, and that's a fairly new topic, but okay. I have been a dietitian and focused on understanding about food and nutrition science and how it affects our medical health.
And with that, I want to encourage everybody. Everyone eats food. Everyone has issues with food. Everyone has questions of whether or not their food is potentially impacting their overall health, or whether or not the food they're eating is the right foods. Call in with your questions, 289-1860, 289-1860. Outside of Hillsborough County, 877-969-8600, 877-969-8600. Okay, so going back to the dietetic or dietitian versus nutritionist, you explained the difference. Do you actively put on a different hat when you think of yourself as a nutritionist when evaluating a patient, or is it all just one from one perspective?
Well, as a nutritionist, you are concerned about how the food you eat is affecting the body. Dietitians, we kind of, like when I first went to school, we were talking about how to treat medical conditions. So if someone had diabetes, we knew how to help them with diabetes and how to live a longer life with the food that they eat. I think as a nutritionist, you're really more thinking preventative health.
Okay.
And I think sometimes this typical hospital dietitian is not necessarily thinking about preventative health. You're already in the hospital. So a lot of people think of a dietitian in a hospital as helping them once they get a condition. As a private practice dietitian, what you're going to find with a lot of private practice dietitians is that, yes, we help people who already have developed a disease state, but I have so many calls every day that people just want to eat better. They want to stay healthy. Losing weight, that's very common. But a lot of people will call me. They just want to know how to stay healthy for the rest of their life.
Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned before, food sensitivity is a relatively newer area.
It is. We've known about food sensitivity testing for about the past 20 years, but it's a fascinating science. It's changing every day. We're learning more and more about it. So, it is a fairly new in the realm of medical science.
Well, what's the difference between, say, a food sensitivity, a food intolerance, and a food allergy?
Well, Dr. Maskin, that's interesting. A food allergy is basically an adverse reaction to food or food components that involves the body's immune system. So what this means is that the body recognizes an allergen as a foreign substance, and it produces antibodies because of this invasion. Typically, we know of allergies, they happen immediately. People can have swelling of their lips, they get rashes, they might have immediate digestive stomach cramps. These are what we call IgE-specific allergies. And what's really interesting is we think less than 5% of the population has what we call a true food allergy. When we get into some of the other conditions, we have a larger number of people who actually have these. But what you do with a food allergy is you just avoid it. That's what you do. It's very, very easy to take care of it. You don't eat the offending food, and you don't have that immediate reaction.
Okay, and how about compare that with food sensitivities and food intolerances?
A food intolerance, probably the most common one, is people who have a lactose intolerance. This is not an immune system reaction the way a food allergy and a food sensitivity is. A true food intolerance means that your body's just lacking, say, a specific enzyme. So when you have a lactose intolerance, you don't have the enzyme called lactase to break that lactose down. As a result, the lactose that's in the milk-type products starts to ferment in your gut, and then you have the various symptoms. Now, when we get to a food sensitivity, which sometimes people also call it a food intolerance, this is different. This is a delayed sensitivity reaction. It's similar to the food allergy in that you're eating something or you're consuming a food additive, or it can be a pharmacoactive agent, or there's various things that you're eating. And over time, these things are causing a problem for you. So you're still having inflammation, you're still having some kind of reaction, but these are going to happen anywhere from, up to 72 hours. That's why it's so easy to figure out what a food allergy is. It's kind of like hidden food sensitivities, because it's more difficult for us to diagnose those on our own.
So a food sensitivity, is it an immune-mediated phenomenon?
It is.
Okay, so as compared to an acute allergy, which symptoms develop immediately.
Immediately, correct.
A food sensitivity, you may have a delayed onset, but it's still considered an immune reaction.
It is still an immune reaction, yes.
So, for example, let's take a patient with celiac disease who has a sensitivity to gluten, for example, and wheat. And so let's say they were to unsuspectingly or knowingly ingest wheat. The reaction they get, is that considered a food sensitivity for that individual?
It's not. I mean, This is a different, when you have celiac disease, that is different from food sensitivities. That is, it's a different pathway. There are many, many pathways that we have to having food reactions when we eat something. That there's the IgE, which is the true food allergy, and so the celiac disease is different. The food sensitivity testing that I do is not going to detect if you have celiac disease.
Okay,
that's more, you need to really do a biopsy and see a gastroenterologist to make that diagnosis.
So when there's an abnormal anatomy or physiology in the gut, for example, with celiac disease, inability to absorb that nutrient, that's not considered a food sensitivity, or maybe it's a food intolerance.
That would be more of an intolerance. Okay.
Inability to metabolize that particular
correct.
Nutrient.
Correct.
Okay. Okay, we'll be right back with more on food sensitivities on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
The Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Call now in Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. More in a few moments.
Night sweats, hot flashes. Does that sound familiar? I'm Judy Singer. I've been in the natural health field over 25 years, and now I'm in menopause, so my product has to be all natural, and it has to really work. My special formula, Hot Flash Comfort Cream, is an odorless natural cream absorbed quickly through your skin. And no more hot flashes, just comfort. Call 866-711-JUDY, 866-711-5839, or hotflashcomfortcream.com.
This radio healthcare program is brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Our mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free 5th Annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, March 27, 2010, visit www.focusonfemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida 33679-2702. Thank you.
Do your eyes have a foreign body sensation or are scratchy and sandy? Do they burn, sting, or itch, or are heavy and tired? Maybe your eyes are sensitive to light or your eyelids achy and sore. Have you seen countless doctors and still can't find relief? Have they told you, sorry, but you'll have to live with this and nothing can be done for you? Well, first, it's likely you suffer from dry eye. And second, don't stand for those answers anymore. Just because someone else doesn't understand your dry eye problems, go to the only eye doctor in Central Florida that specializes exclusively in dry eye and related diseases. Meet with Dr. Stephen Maskin at the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, where you will be given up to 2 hours of face-to-face time with a doctor to get at the root cause of your dry eye pain, fluctuating vision, and redness, plus begin targeted therapy right away. Haven't you waited long enough?
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
Welcome back to Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Today, we're tackling food sensitivities. Any question that you have for yourself, your family member, our neighbor, for that matter, or a coworker, please give us a call. We are at 289-1860, and outside of Hillsborough County, it's area code 877-969-8600, 877-969-8600. And so I am with food sensitivity expert Lee Russell, and we, before the break, we discussed the difference in food allergy, food sensitivity, and food intolerance. And on the line is John. John is a patient of Lee's. John, welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic today.
Good afternoon.
And tell us, if you would, your story about your food sensitivity.
Well, my main problem is a friend of mine recommended that I talk to Lee regarding migraine headaches. And I had the test done. It turned out that I had some sensitivities to the foods that I was eating. And that was a couple of months ago, started on the program, and virtually the migraines are gone.
So tell us, that's quite remarkable. And tell us, if you would, how old you are and how long you had the migraines, some little background information.
Well, I was 63 and years old, and I've had them for many, many years, as long as I can remember.
Okay. And so you've been evaluated by an internist, a neurologist?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And have you had imaging studies such as MRIs and CT scans?
I've had a MRI before, but that didn't really turn up anything.
Okay, so that was normal. And so how will you manage then these kinds of... Well, I'll tell you what, before we go there, describe a typical migraine for you. What kind of migraine did you used to have?
Well, I would stage it as being debilitating. Really couldn't function, couldn't work, couldn't concentrate. After going on this program with Lee, it's just made a complete difference in my life. Mm-hmm. I can sleep better. I function better. I have more energy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the migraines.
Mm-hmm.
Total life change.
And the people around you, I guess, are a lot happier too.
A lot happier.
What kind of treatment had you tried over the years for your migraines prior to identifying food sensitivity as a possible cause?
Well, of course, you know, taking the prescription drug or the prescription and over the counter drugs, mm-hmm. trying to alleviate the problem. Mm-hmm. Primarily, that was what we did.
Mm-hmm. And now, when you tell us the process of being evaluated, once you decided let's take a step back. Did you have any other medical conditions or problems?
No. It was primarily the migraine headaches.
Okay. And so you had no, did you have any intestinal symptoms? Nothing to suggest that you have diarrhea, constipation, bloating, anything that suggests you would have some intestinal problems?
Did have some bloating, some gas issues, I suppose.
Okay. But you didn't necessarily connect the two?
No.
And I imagine, I don't know that many people would.
No, and I'm not lactose intolerant, so... Oh. I didn't really have any of those symptoms either.
Mm-hmm. And so you went ahead and had the blood testing for food sensitivities with Lee?
Yes, they took the blood test. They sent that in for evaluation. I guess it was probably 10 days, got that back. And it was very clear cut as to what foods I should stay away from, what foods I had a moderate intolerance, and then other foods that I could eat without any problems. The other thing they gave me was a chart that gave me different food groups that I could eat and different plans, like four-day plans.
Like a rotating plans?
One thing I did learn that really surprised me is that the body doesn't function well eating the same thing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, every morning I would get up, I would have my cereal and bananas and so forth. Well, it turns out the banana's not exactly what I should be eating.
Mm-hmm.
So I went by the program, and it just completely has changed my life.
Mm-hmm. And what did you find out was the three worst foods for you? What was in that bad category?
Bad category are some beans, chili peppers, tarragon. I'm just trying to think because I don't have the list.
Any of those, things that you would normally consume on a regular basis?
And not so much in that severe case.
More than moderate?
Moderate, yes. A long list of things there.
Mm-hmm. Just throw out a couple if you would.
Well, the bananas, for instance.
Okay.
Blackberries.
Okay.
Walnuts. Okay. Things that, you know, you would think would be a healthy diet for me.
Right.
Just wasn't.
Right. And so you saw this, and what did you think? Did it register that, these are the kinds of things that I've been taking, I'll tell you what, we're on for a hard break. He'll be right back with more on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Stick with me, John. Be right back.
The Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Call now in Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. anywhere else, 877-969-8600. More in a few moments.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. Angela Merkel is headed for a second term as Germany's chancellor. Her center-left challenger, Foreign Minister Frank-Walter Steinmeier, has conceded, calling today's election a bitter defeat. Defense Secretary Robert Gates is warning that failure in Afghanistan would be a huge setback for the U.S. Gates tells CNN that militants may perceive a withdrawal timeline in Afghanistan as victory. He also is downplaying the effectiveness of military strikes, potentially against Iran's newly disclosed secret uranium-enriching facility. Gates tells CNN there's, quote, no military option that does anything more than simply buy time. Zurich Film Festival organizers say they'll go ahead with a planned retrospective of Roman Polanski's work, despite the fact he was arrested when he got off the plane there this weekend. He's being held on the 1978 charge that he had relations with a 13-year-old girl here in the U.S. This is SRN News.
Night sweats, hot flashes. Does that sound familiar? I'm Judy Singer. I've been in the natural health field over 25 years, and now I'm in menopause, so my product has to be all natural, and it has to really work. My special formula, Hot Flash Comfort Cream, is an odorless natural cream absorbed quickly through your skin. And no more hot flashes, just comfort. Call 866-711-JUDY, 866-711-5839, or hotflashcomfortcream.com.
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
And welcome back to Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Once again, we are at 289-1860, 289-1860, outside of Hillsborough County, 877-969-8600. And we're back with John. And John, 63-year-old patient with history of migraine headaches for many, many years, debilitating migraine headaches, affecting his work, affecting his productivity, ability to concentrate. And he ultimately tried the different medications for migraines, had an MRI, found nothing. I guess a friend recommended having a food sensitivity test, John. Is that what you had said?
Yes, that's correct.
And what did you think at first when he shared that with you, that recommendation to you? Do you think that, did you have high expectations at first?
I always thought of myself as being a healthy eater. And I didn't think of anything about sensitivity, food sensitivities. I've heard of food allergies.
Mm-hmm.
So I was surprised at the recommendation, but I figured I got to try something.
Right. And, I mean, just out of curiosity, had your friend had a similar experience where that friend had food sensitivity affect their life?
Well, they had a friend that recommended the same thing,
okay,
or had it done, and then that's how it came to me.
I see.
Coworker.
All right, so we went ahead and you did the food sensitivity testing, and you found bananas, blackberries, walnuts, and Lee mentioned on break pecans, for example, and other foods you're sensitive to, and these are things that you felt you had always thought of being as healthy things to eat, and you found,
yes,
and you found that these were things that you were sensitive to.
Yeah, these were actually things that were harming me, I guess.
And tell me now, the bananas, for example, were you taking the bananas for any particular reason?
Well, because of the potassium, I think. You know, I always thought that was a good thing to do, have a banana every day.
Is that, had you had any history of cramping or muscular problems?
No, but I did have a problem, you know, with this, I think probably from the bananas, gaseous problems, things like that.
Okay. All right, so you went ahead and you adjusted your diet, and how soon did you see results?
Really, quite right away. It was really surprising, and I knew that that had to have some effect on it. I noticed that I was sleeping better. In the afternoon, after lunch, I wasn't having the problems where I felt like I needed to have a nap. I had a lot more energy. I could function the whole day.
Mm-hmm. And did you... Okay, so when you say pretty quickly, within the first week?
I would say within the first week to 10 days.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And how long have you been on this program?
Well, for about a month and a half.
Okay. So you've stuck with it, and what's the have you been able to change the diet or freed up some more foods? Or and Lee, maybe you can speak to this. At what point can when these folks watch what they eat and according to the recommendations of the program, is there a point where they can free up some of those food sensitivity groups?
When they get the diet back, the ALCAT test is what we take, and they divide the foods into four categories. So the first one category are the green foods, and green foods mean that they tested to the antigen and they had absolutely no reaction. So we know these foods are perfectly safe for them to eat. Then they get broken down into yellow, which is a mild reaction, an orange color, which is moderate, and red, which John is referring to, his red foods, which those are severe reactions. So every patient is different, and that's why I say I customize this program for every individual patient. If somebody has just a few red and orange foods and their yellows are not a long list and they've got a lot of greens, then I know they've got pretty healthy gut, and there's just a couple of foods that we need to avoid. In that case, we'll avoid the orange foods for about 3 to 6 months and the red foods about 6 months to a year, and then we can start to incorporate those back in because we've actually healed the gut. Now, when I see
maybe if I can interject.
Okay.
So what you're saying is, I want to make this point, that in your experience, that if the individual avoids those foods that are deleterious to their gut as reflected by this testing, once after a period of time, you can reintroduce the food and the gut can then tolerate it at that point.
Correct, because we've healed the gut, mm-hmm. and that's what this is all about.
Do they have to be careful not to eat that food too repeatedly once you reintroduce and it's accepted by the gut? Do they, for example, let's say they want to, like John, let's say he wants to eat in a year from now, wants to have bananas every day. Is that not a good idea, or would that be okay at that point in time?
That is never a good idea. We're finding that Americans tend to eat the same foods all the time, and we think this is one of the reasons that people develop food sensitivities. Part of the ALCAT program is to provide the patient with what we call a four-day rotation diet. This is critical to having a healthy gut. So John will eventually be able to add back bananas, but he will only eat bananas every fourth day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so for that 24-hour period, he can have as many bananas as he wants, but then he has to give his body time to not be oversaturated with just
with
everything that's in bananas,
proteins.
Those antigens. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, John, there's hope for bananas in your future.
that's relieving.
That's very interesting. Now, Leah, what? Now, this is very interesting. This is a migraine headache, which is basically refractory to the conventional approach. Oh, by the way, John, would you say you said the medications really didn't work well for you. Would you say the medications for migraine didn't work well in that it didn't relieve your symptoms, or that you'd have to keep taking them chronically to relieve symptoms?
Didn't really feel any effect. I mean, they worked a little, but it wasn't.
Nothing,
to the degree where it was.
Nothing like where you are now.
No, okay. Not at all.
Okay, and Lee, just for our listeners' sake, what other, off the top of your head, what would you say are the five top symptoms that you've seen respond well to food sensitivity testing and implementation of a improved diet for these folks?
Well, basically, we know that any GI issues, everything from IBS, reflux, I mean, all these things really are...
All right, let's spell that out. IBS meaning irritable bowel syndrome. Now, you're talking about the irritable bowel syndrome patients whose manifestations are diarrhea and constipation both?
We find that we have better results with constipation than mm-hmm. diarrhea, but some people have both diarrhea right. and constipation. So it just depends. But, I mean, every patient that I've seen that has irritable bowel constipation,
mm-hmm.
it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The food sensitivity test definitely will work and relieve those symptoms for them. A lot of respiratory disorders, asthma, allergic rhinitis, which was my situation, fibromyalgia. People always have more energy. They're not tired as much. The chronic fatigue goes away. Skin disorders, eczema, psoriasis, things like this. These are very much caused by food sensitivities. arthritis, joint and muscle pain. I have children that have ADD symptoms, and we're doing the food sensitivity test with those children, and it's helping considerably. Mood disorders, because we know that a lot of food sensitivities that we have a depletion of our serotonin, and the mood disorders can be worsened when we're actually eating foods that are, our body does not tolerate. So any chronic inflammatory-related condition can actually be helped by avoiding the foods that we know are causing inflammation.
Let's run through that list slowly again. I think it's very important for our listeners to hear this. All right, migraines, irritable bowel syndrome, asthma.
Definitely.
Hay fever.
Mm-hmm.
Mood disorders, fibromyalgia, arthritis. Now, degenerative arthritis or rheumatoid?
Rheumatoid arthritis.
Joint and muscle pain, chronic joint and muscle pain. And then in kids, attention deficit disorder.
And a really big one is inability to lose weight. Everyone seems to lose weight when they go on the food sensitivity diet. And once again, we know because of the inflammation that's caused in the body, the white adipose tissue that is in obesity or in extra fat cells in your body, these things are preventing people from their ability to lose weight as effectively. This was found accidentally, and then there were clinical tests that were done at Baylor University where they had 100 patients, and 50 of the patients went on the ALCAT diet, and 50 of the patients just tried their typical weight management program. At the end of the period, all 50 of the patients that were on the ALCAT diet had either lost substantial weight. If they hadn't lost weight, they had at least changed the ratio of lean body mass in their body from what they were eating. These people weren't limiting their calories. They were just changing and not eating foods that caused inflammation.
I think that's an important point you just made, is that the ALCAT diet, I'm going to ask you to share with the listeners the website that they can go to. But you're saying the ALCAT diet does not limit someone's calories. It just identifies the proper foods that they can eat in a rotation basis, four-day rotation basis.
Correct.
Okay. What is that website?
Okay, the website is www.alcat.com, and you spell it A-L-C-A-T. This is there are many food sensitivities out there, but I use the ALCAT test as along with many medical doctors, naturopaths, many physicians are using the ALCAT test because it's been around the longest. They've got the most research behind their products. They're testing, and they have the most foods that can be tested. They have 200 foods, 15 food additives, molds, pharmacoactive agents. So there's a lot of things that we can test. I've had people who were taking medications that their doctor had recommended, and then we found out that there were food colorings or additives in those medications, and that was what was causing the problem.
You really have to be a sleuth and to track down what it is that's causing your symptoms.
Right.
Or aggravating your symptoms. John, I'd like to ask you, are there any questions you have of Lee on food sensitivities or your program at this point?
No, I just want to thank her for doing such a great job, and it certainly has helped me a lot.
Outstanding. Thanks very much, John. I want to thank you for sharing your Sunday with us and hope you have a great day and a great week. All right. And let's see, once again, our phone number for those listeners. Everybody out there has a question about food sensitivities. Call in with it, 289-1860, 289-1860. Outside of Hillsborough County, it's 877-969-8600, 877-969-8600. Now, let's ask about, and I guess, you know, we talked on break before about the difficulty. If you had your food sensitivity test done and you know what's right for you and you're in a rotation diet, but you go out to a restaurant, even though you ask the restaurant no seasoning, you still don't know what you're getting, and that may cause some symptoms.
Right, and what I try to do when I first give a new patient their meal plan is I do encourage them to avoid restaurants if at all possible, and to try to stay home and eat whole healthy foods that they can identify. We really get rid of processed foods entirely on this diet, and this is the great thing about the ALCAT diet is It's the most accurate blood test with the highest accuracy out there for testing reactions of foods, chemicals, and additives. And then it helps us to identify the hidden sources that are causing problems for you. So we then have to make sure that what we're eating is clearly on that diet, and the best way to do that is with whole foods.
Mm-hmm. And what's your feeling about organic foods?
Once again, we really want to focus on organic foods, and we want to stay away from the antibiotics that are in so much of our beef. One of the questions I'll ask people, when was the last time you had an antibiotic? And they'll say, oh, I haven't had one in years. And I'm like, well, did you drink milk yesterday? Did you eat beef yesterday? Did you have chicken? Because our food supply has been adulterated to the point that it's full of all kinds of things that are not good for our body, and that's the reason we think we're seeing more and more food sensitivities. Just to let you know, we think up to 30% of the population has very extreme food sensitivities, which are causing many of the medical problems caused from the inflammation in their body. So everyone should have an ALCAT test. Everyone needs to know what their food sensitivities are. You might not be having debilitating disease symptoms, but you've got inflammation in your body that in the long run is going to cause you to have some medical problems. We know that our body needs to be busy fighting the free radicals so we don't get cancer. If you're eating an apple and your body views that apple as danger, then it's busy fighting the apple instead of fighting what it needs to be fighting, the free radicals. So really, everyone should have, from children on up, everyone should be having a food sensitivity test.
And let's say you live outside of Florida and you go on the website. Is it clear from the website where to go to have local testing done?
Yes. If you go to the website, you don't have to have a physician, does not have to order the blood test. ALCAT has nutritionists on staff that can help to review the results with you. So many physicians, they can also direct you because they know in your area what physicians, which dietitians are doing the ALCAT testing in their practice. So they can also direct you to a practitioner, because I think a lot of people, the big issue here you have to realize is compliance. If you find out that you can't have cocoa and you can't have grapes and you love wine and you love chocolate, then you need somebody to help you stay on track with that diet.
At least until the point where you can reintroduce it to your body.
Right.
Which will happen.
Oh, yes, yes. I mean, that's the beauty of this, is that we're going to find out what's causing the problems, and we're going to heal your gut. And the other thing is, see, I have everyone start on a probiotic, because probiotics are so important to add that beneficial bacteria to your system. Digestive enzymes. We know the people that have food sensitivities, they're not breaking down the food, and these whole food particles are permeating through their gut and getting into their blood, and that's what's causing the problem. So if you see a medical professional for the test, and they're going to review your entire medical situation, and they're going to put you on the supplements and the probiotics, the things that you need to be doing to help to heal your gut so that you can quickly recover.
Which probiotics do you recommend?
Which brand?
Sure.
I have a couple of companies. Designs for Health has got a really great one. Dr. O'Hara's.
So you don't, for example, you, is there a type of, for example, lactobacillus? Is there a type of probiotic you recommend that someone go to the grocery store and pick up? Or
right, we want to stay away from the ones that are sold at the grocery store. What a lot of people don't understand about probiotics is that it isn't necessarily how many strains are in there or how, like, it's got 50 billion. The key is, how is it made, and are they live bacteria? And there's a lot of, when they get processed and they get put into either a pill or they get put into a soft gel or whatever the manufacturing process is, that is very critical to how much is actually live bacteria that you're getting.
You want live bacteria.
You want live bacteria, mm-hmm. because you want your body, you don't want the dead bacteria. So right. It's very important how it's manufactured and what. So I am not a fan of any probiotic that you can buy in the grocery store, unfortunately.
Okay. So, and again, give a website of one or two that you would recommend people go to get their probiotics.
www.designsforhealth.
Okay.
Is one. And it really, they can go to my website, which is www.nutritionhealthservices.com. Or you can just put my name in, Lee Russell, L-E-A-R-U-S-S-E-L-L. So you can go to my websites, and on my website, I've got this information.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break and come right back for more on the Focus on Females Radio Health Care Clinic Food Sensitivity Day. Be right back.
This is the Prescription Addiction Radio Show.
Do you get a sense that the medical professions don't understand how damaging these drugs are to some individuals?
They're clueless. Most of them really just have no clue what they're doing when they write prescriptions for these things. There's just no need for people to be on benzos for long term like that.
The Prescription Addiction Radio Show, brought to you by Novus Medical Detox, Sunday night at 9 on Talk Radio 860 WGUL.
This radio healthcare program is brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Our mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free 5th Annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, March 27, 2010, visit www.focusonfemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida 33679-2702. Thank you. Confused about dry eye? Not getting answers as to why your eyes are so red and painful and your blurry vision that gets a little better with a good blink? Now you can learn all about dry eye, the causes, treatments, and home remedies from the number one best-selling consumer book on dry eye problems, Reversing Dry Eye Syndrome by Dr. Stephen Maskin. Published by Yale University Press, Reversing Dry Eye Syndrome has been selected as a 2008 Best Book of the Year by the Association of American University Presses and a 2007 Best Consumer Health Book by Library Journal. Find answers for your dry eye. Go to your bookstore and pick up a copy of Reversing Dry Eye. You'll be glad you did.
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
Welcome back, Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. It is Food Sensitivity Day, and we're learning all about food sensitivities with Lee Russell and the potential disorders that she has seen respond to identification and adjustment of one's diet in the setting of food sensitivities. And these range from migraines, irritable bowel syndrome, asthma, fibromyalgia, arthritis, joint and muscle pain, attention deficit disorder in kids, obesity, and leg cramps also. Okay, and let's ask, does adjusting the diet, after you have your food sensitivity results, does adjusting the diet prevent food cravings?
Thanks for asking that. Yes, it does. And that's something that's very, very fascinating. And we found this out when we first started and we realized people were losing weight. What we know is that the serotonin gets depleted in your body and people then go and they have cravings for things like chocolate or, you know, whatever it is to give them a boost of energy. And your insulin rises, your glucose rises, your insulin rises, and that gives you that boost of energy. But in the long run, you're going to have complications for that. So when you avoid eating the foods, then you no longer have those food cravings. Typically, people will actually feel worse for the first 7 to 10 days when they go on a food sensitivity diet. They will actually, you know, they actually can sometimes have flu-like symptoms. And I have to tell them, just stay on the diet, stay focused, because give yourself 7 to 10 days and you will feel better.
I know when when treating dry eye, one of the things I sometimes ask patients to do is to eliminate caffeine from their diet, and it takes a couple weeks sometimes if they are daily caffeine users to really get past that those withdrawal symptoms.
Right, and when I find that on a food sensitivity test someone has caffeine as a problem, I'll usually have them just start with avoiding caffeine and not the other foods because it's just too dramatic.
Too dramatic for
their body.
And caffeine is so ubiquitous in our food system. Obviously, coffee, and by the way, everyone knows that decaf coffee has caffeine
right.
in it. Right. And so there's coffee, there's tea, there's chocolate, there's sodas, there's energy drinks, mm-hmm. all with caffeine in them. Now, I've been telling people caffeine-free soda has no caffeine in it. Would you back that up? Or
I would back that up. It's okay. Got very, very little.
So even caffeine-free?
Very little, though.
Okay. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. So, and I guess those categories, caffeine-free, decaf, are all titles that, I guess, our government creates regulation as far as how much caffeine can be in there to be classified as a decaf.
Correct.
And as far as caffeine free.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So same thing goes for trans fats, just to bring that up. You know mm-hmm. we all know how bad trans fats are. The government allows anything under 1% for them to say 0 grams of trans fat, and yet there is minor amounts of trans fat. So if you eat 6 foods that have less than 1% trans fat in it,
it adds up.
At the end of the day, you could have had 2% trans fats.
Yeah, and then if you're a person that is particularly sensitive to trans fats, that will make a difference.
It definitely does.
So how do you know, therefore, if a food is labeled as no trans fats when they actually have trace amounts which particularly can impact that individual? How does that individual know for sure?
Well, that's one of the reasons you see a dietitian, because I'm going to educate you on that, and we're going to go through what foods you shouldn't have, and I'm going to be the little hidden the detective for you to identify for you where these hidden sources are of the foods that we've identified you should not have.
So, for example, if something is labeled as no trans fats, you may know that indeed it has trace amounts in it.
Correct. And I don't like to really give brands out, but Smart Balance is my favorite margarine because it actually has 0.03 grams of trans fats. It is the least amount of trans fats in any margarine that's on the market.
Excellent. Okay, Lee, I want to thank you for joining us today as we tackle food sensitivities. I'd like to also ask you to share one point with our listeners that we either have gone over or have not gone over before. It's like an overarching theme.
Well, I'd just like to say that any individuals that are suffering from one or more clinical symptoms, athletes that want to improve your performance or accelerate your recovery time, and then just really everyone, the ALCAT food sensitivity test is something that definitely will make you feel better. And it's going to help your immune system. So as we're coming into the flu season and we're going to be fighting all the diseases that are floating around, getting your immune system healthy is the most important thing you could do. I recommend that everyone take a really good multivitamin every day. Everyone needs to be taking an omega-3 every day, and everyone should be taking a probiotic. And if you go to my website, which is www.nutritionhealthservices.com, or my name, you'll see some brands that you can buy.
Excellent. Thanks again. Next week on Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, pediatric bone marrow transplant with Dr. Alex Petrovic of Old Children's Hospital in St. Pete, Florida. That's next Sunday on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. This is Dr. Steve Maskin. Hoping you have a great week. See you next time.